Psalm 23 contains timeless words of wisdom. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We'll go through the words in their entirety in our prayer today. They're printed on pages 3 and 4. But I know you know these words so well that I can literally speak to them without having to quote them. It's a poem with no peer and has been called the sweetest song in history. Abraham Lincoln called upon this for his own personal care to calm down his blues. And President Bush replayed it and shared it with the nation after 9/11. These are the words of someone who knows the Lord very well, who has a lifetime of experience and a trust relationship with the shepherd. That's why Psalm 23 brings such comfort and strength. In a very real way, it's David's personal statement of faith. You can call it his personal testimony or creed. So David reviews the events of his life, and he does so in the light of his relationship. It is God that is of primary importance to him, and as a result, God's love for him and his love in return is the essence of what he wants to say. He understood that because he himself was a shepherd. And so God has been with him in the past, and he knows that God will be with him in the present and the future. So he has two real strong parts here. Today we'll concentrate on the shepherd, verses 1 to 3. And then the next time we'll look at his invitation into his house of protection and his personal presence. The Lord who leads cares. The shepherd's provision is personal. Psalm 23 tells us what it's like to live out life under the will of God, in submission to God's leadership. You might say out of reverence for Christ the head. Psalm 23 tells us that God is going to give us an abundant and full life within that framework. That's the way he wants us to live. David pondered the meaning of faith, and God is going to show him who he is again and again. That's how he starts, the Lord. There it is, the most beautiful expression given to Moses in Exodus 3:14. I am who I am, Yahweh. And when the ordinary Israelites heard this name, they were in awe. In fact, they desired not to pronounce it ever. It really was spoken only once a year by the high priest at atonement, and then in the privacy of worship within the temple. In fact, when the name needed to be written, like in the scrolls, that the scribes would take a bath before writing it, and then would destroy the pen afterward, this is the name that shows he is the cause of everything. He's the one who inhabits eternity, the one who originates and sustains life. So to have relationship with this strong but gentle good shepherd, he's powerful and yet he is most personal. He's majestic and yet he is mine. He is like a consuming fire and yet he has the qualities of a sensitive shepherd. I love the image of Yahweh as shepherd in Isaiah 40:11. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. So let's take a look at God's provision. God's provision makes us content, nourishes us, and it restores us as well. First, it makes us content. Since the Lord is my shepherd, I really don't lack anything. I shall not want or be in want. A substitute school, Sunday school teacher, was presenting her class, and so she asked, as you often do in warm-ups, does anybody know the 23rd Psalm? All the hands went up. And then she said, can someone recite it? And a four-year-old was the one that literally stood up. And she didn't know if a child that small could do it, but she gave her the chance. And so this little girl said, "The Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want." She may not have gotten all the words exact, but she surely caught the meaning of contentment. And one of the best definitions I've ever heard of that is this: contentment is not having everything you want. Contentment is wanting everything you have. Secondly, God's provision nourishes us. Verse 2, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters." Notice that the shepherd makes me lie down. The shepherds that have this experience tell us that often it would be the pregnant ewes and the little lambs that needed to quiet down. And so the shepherd would gather them in his arms, carry them to a special place, and he'd fold their legs under them in such a way that they would kind of be paralyzed, but also very calm. In fact, isn't that what we need? Perhaps even now. Maybe you had to lie down when you had a broken bone, an illness. Maybe it's the loss of a job that got you to walk quietly and just talk to God more. Maybe it's in a crisis like this of self-distancing or a heartbreak that made you retract. They are telling us that this actually is a benefit for not just America, but for the whole world, to have time to think about the eternal things. Sometimes we need to chill out. And it's because of these four needs that a sheep has to have met. Freedom from fear. By nature, sheep are nervous and fearful, and when they know the shepherd is with them, then they calm down. They relax. Isaiah 43, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you." Freedom from friction. Whenever there's some not-so-good behavior going on in the flock, the whole flock gets on high alert. The shepherd then tries to minimize the tension by separating those who cause trouble. Freedom from frustrations. There's gnats and bugs, and you know how that is. Not always, but then a mosquito bites and you're like, I can't even enjoy the warm weather. The small things can frustrate a flock, and he would know how to steer them away from where those bugs were. And freedom from famine. A hungry sheep is on its feet forever, foraging, looking for that satisfaction. And that's why the green pastures are so important, to be able to lie down in a bed that is not only a wonderful meal, but it is soft and attractive, a carpeted pasture. Some of us never really slow down to chew on the grain of God's word. We're filled with fear and friction. We have our frustrations, and sometimes we feel undernourished. Perhaps as America is experiencing this, they can learn more about their own stress and anxiety. The Newsweek says that 70 million Americans don't get enough sleep. There was a man who was so whacked out with worry that he decided to fix it. So he put out a prospectus and offered to hire someone who would help him. And when the man was on docket, he found out that his wage was $200,000. Great. But then he asked the boss, "How are we going to pay for it?" And the boss who had hired him said, "That's not my worry. It's yours. That's why I hired you." You know, Jesus said, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." In John chapter 6, he's expressing the bread of life. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." All our needs are met in Christ. After being fully fed, then the sheep need to have that still waters. They get very concerned at the rushing waters. And so often a shepherd would dig a little pond, a way in which they could drink the the quiet, still waters. And that's what his goal would be. Because otherwise they would drink from the polluted puddles. They might get sick. And that's like us. We sometimes look everywhere, anywhere, but to the shepherd for our nutrition, our thirst. Max Lucado put it this way. With his own pierced hands, Jesus created a pasture for the soul. He tore out the thorny underbrush of condemnation. He pried loose the boulders of sin. In their place, he planted seeds of grace and dug ponds of mercy. In the next chapter, Jesus said, John chapter 7, if any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Then God's provision restores us. Because sheep are curious, careless, sometimes cantankerous creatures, they often need to be restored. Verse 3, he says, he restores my soul. To restore means to put back into normal condition, to make new. Sheep can get lost almost faster than any other animal, but not as fast as human beings, you might say. They may fall and get hurt. A predator can pounce on them. And here's where many times I've taught this in class. I don't know the last time I preached about how a sheep can get into trouble on its own. They go down into places looking for grass. They're concerned about their bellies. And the next thing you know, they are cast down. What actually happens is because of their heavy wool and their carelessness, a sheep can fall on its back and flail in the air. It's a term used by the shepherds. And when a sheep is missing, the first thought that the shepherd has is, have they been cast down because they're so vulnerable? That's when the predators can attack. They're so likely to be hurt, harmed, killed. And what a picture is in this of how God interacts with us. He goes looking. And when he finds the sheep that's cast down, he straddles them, pulls them to their feet, and holds them because often they need to be rubbed until their circulation is restored. They need to be calmed until they can go again. And isn't that exactly what God does to restore us? He promises restoration at the cross, where we see we can't carry the burden of our sins, but he can. And then the restoration is real in the message of Easter and resurrection. Finally, God's provision provides a guidance for us. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This is a well-worn trail, a well-defined path. And even on those, the sheep would often get lost. It's his leadership. He doesn't go behind, but rather goes ahead, just as he said in John. Most of us know the right road, but we often go on detours of our own making. In the Civil War, in the Battle of Franklin, there was a heavy volley. The soldiers charged forward, and they took a lot of hits. Many went down. And so one of the corporals rode back to the general and said, "What should we do?" And the general, from way behind in safety, said, "Charge them again." That's easy for a person to say, but when you see Jesus, he's leading the way. In fact, in 1 Peter it says, "For to this you were called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." Just to summarize, my theme today is the Lord cares. That's the essence of it. But the way I wrote it was that you could say it, the Lord who cares leads. The Lord cares who leads. Each of those nuances has a little different emphasis. But I said, the Lord who leads cares. I'm going to linger on these words one more Sunday in verses 4 to 6. Because of the protection and the personal presence of God. These are beautiful words. The first three that we've looked at are about his provision, and it's all based on his name's sake. It's his character that is on display. The name Yahweh will accomplish his purpose and lead us on the best path possible. It takes David to remind us of that. But not just there. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, and Paul. They all say the same thing. Jesus is our good shepherd. Amen.